Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. It's Wednesday, January 7th, and I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year. I hope all of you enjoyed the New Year, and let's hope for a very healthy, happy, prosperous, and successful 2009. I'm your host, Dr. Lanier, and we air this show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information on me and the services I offer, you can go to my website at www.drdiolanier.com. That's www.drdiolanier.com. Today's topic is Zen Moments, Using Prayer and Meditation to Achieve Wellness Goals. Now, last week we talked about organic versus conventional foods, and we discussed what the term organic means and how we, as consumers, can reduce our exposure to pesticides and other chemicals, as well as hormones and antibiotics that may be in the foods that we eat. Today, we're talking about achieving wellness goals through prayer and meditation. Now, first, I want to define what is meant by health and wellness. So I mentioned before in a previous show that WHO, or the World Health Organization, defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. And I really agree with that definition. When you look at wellness, it can also be defined a number of ways. The National Wellness Association defines wellness as an active process of becoming aware of and making choices towards a more successful existence. And it can also be defined as the state of an optimum balance between mind, body, and spirit. And, of course, in complete wellness, we would consider that the absence of disease would be great to have that included in with it, but especially a balance between mind, body, and spirit. And I think those are important definitions to go over before we go forward. The first thing that I'm going to discuss is meditation. What is it and how can we use it in order to achieve wellness? And also, if we have certain illnesses or medical conditions that we're dealing with, whether it be obesity or high blood pressure, or whether you're dealing with cancer or diabetes, how can we use some of these other methods and modalities in order to help us deal with these conditions or achieve wellness overall? So for meditation, we'll talk about that first. It's a mind-body process that where you use concentration or reflection in order to relax the body and calm your mind. And it's defined as the intentional self-regulation of your intention. So you use focus mentally on a particular aspect of your experience, whether it's inner, where you're whether you're focusing on breathing or your heartbeat, or an outer experience. And there are various types of meditation. One commonly practiced type, transcendental meditation, involves repeating a word or phrase, also known as a mantra, either silently or aloud. There's also mindfulness meditation, where a person observes sensations, perceptions, and thoughts without judgments as they arise. And there are various other types of meditation that focus attention either by walking or visualizing. And there are many different ways in order to achieve that. Now, meditation is one of several relaxation methods that have been evaluated by an independent panel that was convened by the National Institutes of Health, or the NIH. Everyone was noticing that whether there was proof scientifically, they were noticing a benefit in order to achieve health as it relates to disease processes. They were noticing benefits from meditation, and so they convened a panel to look at this further. And the panel found that it may be useful as a complementary therapy for treating chronic pain and insomnia or other sleeping problems. And also, some cancer treatment centers offer meditation or relaxation therapy along with the usual medical care that they deliver. Scientific evidence as it stands right now doesn't suggest that meditation is effective in treating cancer or other diseases, but it may help to improve the quality of life for people with diseases, and they specifically looked at cancer. So how is it promoted for use? The NIH, or the National Institutes of Health, they have a Center for Complementary and Alternative that reports that regular meditation can reduce chronic pain, anxiety, and high blood pressure, as well as cholesterol, healthcare use, substance abuse, post-traumatic stress syndrome in Vietnam veterans, and blood cortisol levels that are increased by stress. And those blood cortisol levels are also called stress hormones at times. And practitioners also claim that meditation improves mood, improves immune function, and fertility. And supporters further claim that meditation increases mental efficiency and alertness and raises self-awareness, which contributes to relaxation overall. So what's involved in meditation? Now, how do you do it? And as I mentioned, there are various forms of meditation. You can do meditation or meditate while you're sitting down, but there are also moving forms of meditation like Tai Chi, Qigong, I've also heard Qigong, as well as walking and the Japanese martial art Aikido. So meditation can be self-directed, or it can be guided by doctors or psychiatrists or other mental health professionals or yoga masters. And it can also be guided by masters from different schools of meditation. So there's Zen meditation, Tibetan meditation, transcendental meditation, as well as those from Tai Chi and other martial arts forms. So meditation usually can be done by choosing a quiet place that's free from distraction, sitting or resting quietly with your eyes closed, noticing breathing and physical sensations. So a lot of times you're taking note of your breathing, so you're breathing in and you're breathing out, and then noticing and letting go of all intruding thoughts. So I think that's important to mention because I do try to meditate in the morning when I get up, just to kind of still my mind and get my mind ready for the day. And it's important that it seems like whenever you say, okay, I'm going to meditate, all kind of thoughts, like your things to do list, things are coming at you pretty quick. And you're like, well, I'm supposed to be meditating. And all of a sudden I'm thinking of all these things that I probably need to do or should write down. It is important to notice those and then let go of the intruding thoughts. So let's not plan our grocery list just yet, but this is the time to center our mind. You can also achieve a relaxed, alert state by focusing on a pleasant thought or idea, or by chanting a phrase or a special sound silently or aloud. And the ultimate goal of meditation is to separate yourself mentally from the outside world by suspending the usual stream of consciousness. So all of the thoughts that are coming, and racing through your head day in and day out, just to kind of suspend those for a moment so that you can quiet your mind. Some practitioners recommend 15 to 20-minute sessions a day, and it is something where you probably would need to build up to it. So if you're thinking, hey, I want to quiet my mind and meditate, to jump in at 20 minutes, it might be difficult to do if you're not used to it, especially in a world like today where everything's very instant messaging. We send text messages. Lots of people have Blackberries. It may be hard to quiet your mind. But if you start out, well, I'm going to do, 1 minute or a couple of minutes or get up to 5 minutes at a time, that's a great way. And meditation can be, for you, whatever works for you. So some people I've also heard, they take certain Bible scriptures and just kind of go repeat those over in their head. So whatever is helpful for you to quiet your mind, I think it's a great idea to start out the morning before you just jump out of bed, feet on the floor and hit your day. It might be good to kind of start with a clean slate before you go about your business. Now, the history behind meditation is important as well. It's a part of ancient Eastern religious practices, particularly in India, China, and Japan, but it can be found in all cultures around the world. And in evidence in terms of looking at what's the benefit of it. In the last 20 years, meditation has been studied in clinical trials as a way of reducing stress on both the mind and the body. And research also shows that meditation can help reduce anxiety, stress, blood pressure, chronic pain, and insomnia. There also have been studies of mindfulness meditation, which is a separate form, and they found that it seemed to help with symptoms of anxiety. There was one controlled study with a group of healthy workers. They found more brain activity in an area linked to positive emotional states, so, you know, that feel-good area of your brain, in those workers who meditated. The same study found that those who meditated had a better immune response to the influenza vaccine than those who did not meditate. A lot of these studies are done on patients that may have a chronic or even a terminal illness. So there has been research on people with cancer, as well as heart disease or a recent heart attack, and chronic issues like perhaps back pain. But a lot of studies have been done. And a controlled study of 90 cancer patients who did mindfulness meditation for 7 weeks found that those who meditated had 31% lower stress symptoms and 67% less mood disturbance than those who did not meditate. Some studies also have suggested that more meditation improves the chance of a positive outcome. So are there any problems or complications with meditating? Some experts agree, agree that the positive effects of meditation outweigh any negative reactions. Complications are really rare with it. A number of people who meditate have become disoriented or anxious and experience some negative feelings. And people with certain types of mental illness may be more likely to have those responses. So I think overall it's a good way to start out your day, and it doesn't have to be, you know, a practice as it were, but just to quiet your mind, even if you take 5 minutes, 1 minute, and it doesn't have to be at the start of the day. At any point in the day where things seem a little bit harried, I think it's a really good practice. The next subject that I wanted to talk about is prayer or spirituality in achieving our wellness goals. Spirituality is defined as an awareness of something greater than the individual self. It's often expressed through religion and or prayer. Although there are many paths of spiritual pursuit and expression, you can achieve a prayer in any one of those. And actually, I just want, in case you're just joining me, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we're talking about the use of prayer and meditation in achieving our wellness goals. So studies have found that spirituality and religion are very important to the quality of life of people with chronic diseases, which include cancer, HIV/AIDS, and other illnesses. Although available research in this area also has not supported claims that spirituality can cure cancer or other disease, it has shown that the psychological benefits of praying may include reduction of stress and anxiety, promotion of a more positive outlook, and the strengthening of the will to live. And these are actually, it's interesting, there are a lot of the same benefits that you can see with meditation as well. Proponents of spirituality, and this is, I'm looking at it specifically as it relates to wellness and in the medical area. Proponents of spirituality claim that prayer can decrease the negative effects of disease, speed recovery, and increase the effectiveness of medical treatments. Faith and religious beliefs are also thought to improve coping and provide comfort while people are dealing with illness, especially if you have something that's chronic. It's not like you have a cold and take some medicine, rest a little bit, chicken soup and some vitamin C, and you're over that. But if you have something that's chronic and is with you, you may need help in order to deal with that illness and to receive comfort while you're going through. So religious attendance in things like church or temple is sometimes linked with improvement of various health conditions. And the ones that they looked at were heart disease, hypertension, stroke, colitis, uterine and other cancers, and overall health status. When they looked at scientific evidence as it relates to spirituality and prayer, the evidence was mixed. Many people believe, however, that, and I, as do I, that the spiritual dimension is very important when you're coping with a serious illness. So it can provide the meaning in life for you when you're looking at things like dealing with cancer, even if you're not curing the disease. Prayer and spirituality can also help us deal with and accept death, both our own and those we love. Now, spirituality has many forms and can be practiced in many ways, and I'm talking specifically about prayer. It can be silent or spoken out loud and can be done alone or in any setting or in groups such as a church or a temple. Regular attendance at a church, a temple, or a mosque may involve prayer that focuses one's attention on self, which is considered supplication, or on others, which is intercessory prayer. And in this type of setting, the entire congregation may be asked to pray for a sick person or the person's family. Some people, religion set aside certain times of the day and special days of the week for praying. There may be standard prayers written by religious leaders that are often memorized and repeated during private sessions or in groups. It's also practiced individually and in informal groups without a specific religion or denomination and on no particular schedule. So what happens with prayer, as most of us know, you are asking God or a higher being for help, understanding, wisdom, or strength in dealing with life's problems. And that is life problems in general. But since we're talking about wellness, achieving wellness, meaning becoming healthy and fit and having mental well-being, it can help with that too. And for me, I find it helpful whenever I get to a point where I'm trying to do things in my own strength, whether it's, you know, trying to eat better or trying to, you know, take care of my family or do things. If I get to the point where I feel overwhelmed, I stop and question whether I'm trying to do all of that in my own strength. And if so, that's an indicator to me that I need to pray about that. So I think it's helpful in all different areas of your life. Now, spirituality or prayer can also be practiced without a formal religion. I mentioned meditation, but also 12-step work, such as that's practiced by Alcoholics Anonymous and similar groups, and seeking the meaning of life all involves spirituality. Also, silent observation, listening, or gratitude can be a form of spirituality for everyday life. Many medical institutions and practitioners include spirituality and prayer as important components to healing. And in addition, hospitals have chapels and contracts with ministers, rabbis, clerics, and other volunteer organizations to serve the spiritual needs of their patients. So they recognize the importance as well. The evidence, when you're looking at prayer and spirituality as it relates in the medical field towards health and wellness as well as disease, studies done on the impact of prayer and spirituality often focus on the effect of religious beliefs, and they also look at behavior on health, survival, and quality of life, as well as the effects of intercessory prayer. So as a group of people praying for someone else, they done a lot of work looking at that. The results of many of the studies have been mixed, and although some research has found that religious groups with orthodox beliefs and behaviors have lower cancer death rates, other studies have not found any health benefits related to religion and survival. Now, the U.S. Office of Technology Assessment, or OTA, reported that a survey of issues in the Journal of Family Practice, which spanned about 10 years, found that 83% of studies on religiosity found a positive effect on physical health. And they measured religiosity by participation in religious ceremony, social support, prayer, and belief in a higher being. Another study on 12 years of issues of two major psychiatric journals found that the studies that measured religiosity, 92% showed a benefit for mental health, 4% were neutral and 4% showed harm. So that's important to note. Also, an analysis of 43 studies on people with advanced cancer was done, and this was found on www.cancer.org, the American Cancer Society. They did this study, and they analyzed 43 different studies on people with advanced cancer and noted that those who reported spiritual well-being were able to cope more effectively with terminal illnesses and not only to cope with it but also to find meaning in their experience. And so when you look across board, the major themes of spiritual well-being as a benefit of prayer included self-awareness as well as coping with stress, connectedness with others, faith, empowerment, confidence, and the ability to live with meaning and hope. And I think all of those are really important as we, you know, walk through life and deal with many different issues and circumstances that may come our way, whether it's related to our health or any area of our life. I think these are important themes to consider, and I think they are really vitally important to our overall health and wellness. Also, I mentioned that they did research on the effects of intercessory prayer or praying for others in coronary care patients, so patients who had either heart surgery or a heart attack in the late 1980s. And this was done in San Francisco, and they found that heart patients who were prayed for appeared to have fewer complications. Now, when they also looked at the length of hospital stay and the death rate, those did not differ between the patients who had prayer and those who didn't, but the fewer complications was something that was noted. And there was also a larger study done at a Kansas City hospital coronary care unit that reported similar findings. And so I think, I'm not sure if you remember, but I do remember hearing about those studies, like prayer works, and I actually knew that for myself, but it's always interesting when the medical research comes on board. I should say that there, because the studies got a lot of public attention, several other studies were done to confirm the findings, and those results were mixed. When a research group reanalyzed 14 of those studies, they concluded that the study showed no effect of intercessory prayer on any medical outcomes. So that's what the science has shown, but you may find a different experience for people who choose prayer as a way to receive wisdom and guidance on how to achieve wellness, how to live their life, and how to deal with circumstances that may come up. Patient consent, when you're looking at prayer from a medical standpoint and you're thinking, are there any problems or complications? I personally can't think of any, but if you're looking, for example, in that study, they would have needed to obtain patient consent before conducting any activity that may affect health. That goes across the board. Those who don't believe in prayer or those who don't wish to be healed would be among those that may not want to be the object of intercessory prayer. So they did have to keep that in mind for them. So I think all of those are important to take note of. Now, I also looked at the subject of complementary and alternative therapies that include mindfulness and across the board, and the spiritual determinants of health and healing. And they actually did quite a few studies looking at that. And for the most part, they came up with, it needs to be studied more for that, for spirituality and prayer as a method of achieving things. They were looking more specifically at chronic pain in specific groups or other medical problems. So they wouldn't look across the board. And when you're doing research, you need to concentrate on a certain area and look at a certain group of patients. So there was one that looked at chronic pain in older adults had mind-body interventions, which included quite a few mind-body therapies like biofeedback, progressive muscle relaxation, meditation, like we discussed, guided imagery, hypnosis, Tai Chi, yoga and Qigong. And they found, when they looked at those, that it was a very feasible option in older populations to try some of those therapies because there may be some benefit. And this is actually, we talked specifically about prayer and meditation today, but I really do have an interest in a complementary and alternative medicine. So for the next couple of shows, we will talk about using those modalities, complementary and alternative medicine in health and wellness. And that will be a two-part segment coming up because there are a lot of different areas to look at and to use in order for us to either deal with or treat a medical condition or disease that we may have, or just in order for us to be healthy. One of the ones mentioned was yoga, and I think that's great. I mean, I really love yoga. I think it's important to maintain your flexibility, and so we'll talk about that and some of the other methods. And the reason I wanted to do shows looking specifically at complementary and alternative medicine, or that they are very viable option in a lot of cases in order for us to maintain our health and wellness. And I actually received my first introduction to complementary and alternative medicine when I was in college, my last year of, medical school even. Last year of medical school, I had an elective that looked at different modalities, and that was as part of the elective. Lucky us, we all got a massage at one of the massage schools in the area, and that was my first massage that I received. Got through all of life, all the way up through med school, without having one. And so, after I had one, I said, I won't be doing without these anymore, because it's a wonderful experience to relax muscles and build up tension that you may have. Also, finding out about different types of deep tissue massage or Rolfing, different forms of that, and yoga and other kind of biofeedback. So if you are listening to me say these terms and you're like, I don't even know what those are, please tune in for the next couple of shows, because I will talk about different forms of all of those things. So I hope the information was helpful to you. I think that meditation and prayer are great if it works for you. It happens to work very well for me, and so I think that's something to consider as we go about trying to achieve health and wellness for ourselves. I just want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. Please consult your personal physician or other healthcare professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatment. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Please be sure to tune in next week when our topic will be using complementary and alternative medicine in health and wellness, part one. I look forward to speaking with you next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, remember, be healthy and God blessed. Take care.